Good morning. This is David Jackson with the CBS World News Roundup. The Senate today opens hearings into the future of one of its own, New Jersey Democrat Harrison Williams, who was convicted of bribe-taking in the FBI's Abscam investigation. The Williams case comes to the Senate floor with a recommendation for the stiffest punishment allowed, and we get the story from congressional correspondent Phil Jones.
The Senate Ethics Committee has already voted unanimously to recommend expulsion. Senator Howell Heflin, ranking Democrat on that committee, claims the Abscam videotapes are convincing evidence that the senator's conduct was ethically repugnant.
Here you've got an instance where you've got on tape and on audio statements that, to me, indicate the betrayal of a public trust for financial gain.
But Senator Daniel Inouye, who will be leading the defense for Williams today, claims that the senator was entrapped by an FBI agent posing as a wealthy Arab businessman willing to pay for favors.
The United States government had no business testing the weaknesses of members of the Senate. It's not for them to determine our qualifications. The Constitution says we determine our own qualifications.
An attempt will be made to lower the penalty from expulsion to censure. But as the debate begins, even Senator Inouye concedes that the mood appears to be in favor of expulsion. Phil Jones, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Senate has approved its stiffest anti-busing language yet, an amendment that would prohibit court-ordered busing of more than 15 minutes or 5 miles each way. And it would strip courts of much of their power to order busing for integration. The Senate's is not by any means the final word on the matter. More from Susan Spencer.
The legislation passed the Senate by a large margin, but its future in the House is uncertain at best. Some sources predicting that though Democrats will come under pressure to move it, the bill will not come close to a vote in the House. Speaking on the CBS News broadcast morning, Congressman Don Edwards, Democrat of California, said today in his mind this amendment is clearly unconstitutional.
In the first place, this is not a busing issue. This has to do with the Constitution. That is correct. Intentional segregation, racial segregation of schools, is against the Constitution. And if you want to reverse that, you would have to have a constitutional amendment, not just a simple law.
Republican Congressman Hinson Moore of Louisiana disagreed.
The courts of the United States have a selection of remedies to use in fulfilling a constitutional right, such as equal protection of the laws and a right to an equal education. It's the remedy that's in question here, not the jurisdiction of the court.
And Congressman Moore added, if busing opponents are so sure of their case, they should let the House vote on it. Susan Spencer, CBS News, Washington.
The Reagan budget continues to run into trouble on Capitol Hill. Sources tell the AP that the Republican leadership of the Senate has taken a confidential survey of Senate committees and found the support is not there for the president's proposed new spending cuts. In fact, the survey reportedly shows the committee is ready to spend about $10 billion more than the president wants.
Things have never been better. My stocks are up, my weight is down, and I'm driving a Datsun 310 GX.
Yeah, when you're in the new 1982 Datsun 310 GX, all is right with the world. You get front-wheel drive, economy, a new 1.5-liter engine. The Datsun 310, built by Nissan, delivers more power from less gas than ever before. EPA estimated 31 mpg, 45 highway with standard 5-speed. Use 31 for comparison. Your mileage may differ. Highway mileage will probably be less.
You should see the extras I don't pay extra for.
So let's see. New 5-speed overdrive, power disc brakes, reclining velour front buckets, electric rear window defroster.
Don't miss those steel-belted radials.
Now that's quality on the bottom line.
Datsun.
See all the exciting 1982 Datsun cars and trucks at your Datsun dealer today.
The savings and loan industry says it can wait no longer for interest rates to drop. Today it proposed a $10 billion federal aid plan that would help homebuyers get mortgages at less than the prevailing rate. President Reagan is in California this morning about to start a vacation at the ranch. But first, there's some budget business ahead. Neil Strausser has the story.
According to White House sources, President Reagan, in his speech to the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors this morning, will broaden the attack on critics of his 1983 budget plan, striking out at Republicans as well as Democrats. He will, according to the sources, denounce the chorus of ad hoc alternatives to his budget from both sides of the aisle, and will insist that the many calls for tax increases or tax cut delays would stall the recovery from the recession. The new attack will strengthen the impression created yesterday during stops in Cheyenne and Albuquerque on the way west. The president seemingly adamant on any change in his tax cut or defense increase programs, seeming to dare those concerned about the deficit to come up with still deeper cuts in social programs instead. White House aides paint a different scenario, that the president is trying to build public support for his program, hoping to bring critics closer to him when compromise time comes. Presidential Counselor Edwin Meese says Mr. Reagan is staking out a negotiating position. But there are those who remember the president during budget-making time, confounding most of his aides and digging in his heels against any new excise taxes. Neil Strauser, CBS News, with the presidential party in Los Angeles.
Presidential heels apparently are not dug in deeply on the matter of a proposed natural gas pipeline from the Soviet Union to the West. Diplomatic correspondent Robert Pierpoint has more on that.
President Reagan has decided not to try to persuade America's European allies to impose further sanctions on the Soviet Union at this time. High-ranking sources within the administration have told CBS News that the president will send a special mission to Europe next week that will focus on limiting future credits to Moscow instead of on the imposition of sanctions aimed at crippling the building of a Soviet gas pipeline to Western Europe. The president, these sources say, has decided to avoid a confrontation with the NATO allies over the gas pipeline issue, even though the Reagan administration still believes it will be a mistake for the Western Europeans to become dependent on the Soviet Union for so much of their energy. The mission to Europe, which will be headed by Undersecretary of State James Buckley, has been the object of a good deal of pulling and hauling within the administration between those such as Defense Secretary Weinberg, who wanted to press the Europeans for sanctions that would have hampered the pipeline deal, and those such as Secretary of State Haig, who wanted a less forceful approach. The hardliners apparently lost that struggle, and President Reagan will not make further decisions on sanctions until after the Buckley mission returns. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the State Department.
The pipeline issue prompted Alaska Senator Ted Stevens to threaten a move to pull out some of the American troops now stationed in Western Europe. Says he's tired of spending so much money to defend the rest of the world when the rest of the world ignores U.S. policy. Israel has begun clearing the Sinai of unauthorized settlements in advance of turning the rest of that territory over to Egypt next month. There was some resistance. Bob Faw has the story.
Just before sunrise, 200 government soldiers moved into the settlement of Hatzeradar. Religious extremists barricaded themselves inside and threatened to burn themselves and their homes if the soldiers moved in. The bluff didn't work. After a 10-minute warning, army axes slammed into flimsy walls and the eviction was underway. About 60 were dragged off, men, women, and children, kicking and screaming and protesting that Israeli soldiers should not use force on their fellow countrymen. Grim-faced, some close to tears, the soldiers followed orders, and within an hour it was over. The government's vow to move the squatters made good. But the squatters believe they have a divine right to be here, vow they'll return, that sympathizers will join them. And the question now is whether the government's show of force will inflame other squatters to resist with violence. Bob Paul, CBS News in the Northern Sinai.
France's President Mitterrand has arrived in Israel on an official three-day visit. It's the first trip to Israel ever by a French head of state. OPEC's President Otaiba of the United Arab Emirates has announced that the oil cartel will hold emergency talks before this month is out. The discussions are aimed at dealing with an oversupply of oil in the world.
Days, lots of cars talk about going far on a gallon, but most of them talk about only one high-mileage model.
My friend, that's where Datsun 210 stands apart. Here's a whole fleet of high-mileage, high-quality cars, a total of 13, that deliver an EPA-estimated 27 mpg or better. Use 27 for comparison, your mileage may differ. Highway mileage will probably be less.
What about 27 mpg or better in a wagon?
Wagons, hatchbacks, sedans, even with optional automatic transmissions. But remember, high mileage is not all you're getting. The Datsun 210 is built solid by Nissan. The sticker price for the 210 standard model is a low $47.99, excluding taxes, title, license, and destination charges.
Datsun 210 looks like solid economy.
Datsun
See all the exciting 1982 Datsun cars and trucks at your Datsun dealer today.
A child's letter drew First Lady Nancy Reagan to a California hospital late yesterday. We get the story from Harold Dow.
When the First Lady arrived at Children's Hospital in Los Angeles, she was greeted by 15-year-old Shannon Campbell and the Bonita High School Band, of which Shannon is a member. It started last August when Shannon decided to write Nancy Reagan. Her letter said, "I have been going to Children's Hospital for 2 years now. I have leukemia, and I am in remission and feel good." She invited the First Lady to visit the hospital.
If everybody saw what a great place it was, that it would, like, show people how much we need this hospital.
Mrs. Reagan visited the hospital yesterday. The first stop was in the hematology clinic where Shannon received chemotherapy. From there, the First Lady was shown the adolescent floor for inpatients. Some of the children were too young to realize who their guest was, but one child couldn't resist asking about all those people following Mrs. Reagan.
Don't you get nervous with all these cameras around you all the time?
No, not really.
Shannon was by her side all the way. She said she liked the Reagans, and she knew that Mrs. Reagan liked children. For 15-year-old Shannon Campbell, still in remission, still feeling good, the hard part was saying goodbye to the First Lady. As they embraced, Shannon couldn't hold back the tears. Harold Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The U.S. dollar opened lower against most European currencies this morning. Gold prices were down, too. In London, gold opened at 357 even, down from 360 and a half at the close yesterday.
CBS News. The Supreme Court says communities can control drug paraphernalia shops. Good morning. This is Reed Collins reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A test case was decided today, and Fred Graham has the story.
In recent years, a number of states and localities have enacted anti-drug paraphernalia laws designed to regulate or ban the operations of so-called head shops that sell items to be used in taking illegal drugs. But a number of these laws have been declared unconstitutional on the grounds that they are too vague, that they outlaw items such as papers, pipes, and clips that have legal uses not connected with drugs. Today, the Supreme Court decided a test case involving a drug paraphernalia law enacted by Hoffman Estates, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago. That law made it illegal to sell to minors any items designed or marketed for use in taking illegal drugs. The Supreme Court unanimously upheld the law. It said it's clear to any merchant which items are designed to be used for taking drugs or presented in such a way that it's obvious they're being sold for drug-taking purposes. Thus, this law and presumably many other anti-drug paraphernalia laws are constitutional and enforceable. Fred Graham, CBS News at the Supreme Court.
News continues after this.
At Ford Motor Company, quality is job one.
That's really shining through. It's people taking pride in the work they do. From the littlest detail to the grand design, we know at Ford our future's on the line. On our line.
Job one is to make the very best car we can, the best quality for our consumers. So we are upgrading everything that we manufacture in this plant. Customers want a good car, and we want to give it to them.
And this dedication is already paying off. Overall, a 48% improvement in quality since 1980, as reported by new car owners. At Ford Motor Company, quality is job one.
Better and better, see what we've done. At Ford, quality is job one.
Savings and Loan Association say they need saving, and soon. Caught in the interest squeeze, many of them are being forced to merge. The chairman of their organization says today, however, what's needed is a $10 billion federal aid program to provide affordable mortgages to home buyers. A private study released a week ago estimates it would take $8.5 billion to save the industry from bankruptcy in the coming year. President Reagan speaks to the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors today. His budget and the new federalism, the topic. Then Mr. Reagan heads up to the ranch for a 4-day vacation.
3 hours from now, the Senate is to begin debate on the political fate of Senator Harrison Williams, the New Jersey Democrat convicted in the Abscam case. Williams has contended he was framed. He'll defend himself with a sheaf of papers outlining what he contends were improprieties committed by the FBI in trapping him. It would take a two-thirds vote of the Senate to expel him and a simple majority to censure him. Israeli troops moved into the Sinai this morning and forcibly removed some 60 settlers who have refused to abandon settlements, despite the Israeli promise to return all of that area to Egypt by April 25th. There was some violence, and there are more settlers yet to be evicted. The French President Mitterrand is visiting Israel for 2 days, the first such trip by a French chief of state. He said in his arrival remarks that France is a true friend of Israel, but he added the Middle East conflict can't be resolved without settling the Palestinian problem. Princess Anne is visiting Northern Ireland today, touring camps and visiting British soldiers. Only yesterday, terrorists tried to kill a senior judge in the northern province. They missed him and wounded a bystander. A hurricane has hit Tonga in the South Seas. Winds of 172 miles an hour and a tidal wave that may have washed some people out to sea. All facilities on Tonga shut down for 8 hours. News continues after this.
Hello, Post Office. Got a question on your new 2-pound pack from Express Mail Next Day Service. You'll deliver 2 pounds overnight anywhere you go for $9.35, less than most other people charge for just a few ounces. You wouldn't kid a veteran, would you?
Express Mail Service delivers 60,000 packages on time every day, and our 2-pound pack is just $9.35.
Ah, you son of a gun.
The Express Mail 2-pound pack. It lets you send more for less. Sponsored by your postal service.
The big play is in the NCAA. Saturday, March 6th, it's the Big East Conference Championship, and CBS Radio Sports will be there to cover every exciting minute. Bill O'Donnell courtside to call all the play-by-play action with Ed Ingles to bring you expert analysis of the game. It's live college basketball beginning at 2:50 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday, March 6th. The NCAA Big East Conference Championship on most of these CBS Radio Network stations. Hear it here.
In New York City, 46th Street has been closed at Broadway because the roof of a theater under demolition collapsed and sent debris plunging into the street. Officials say they meant to demolish the place, but not exactly to bring down the house. Wall Street knows the feeling at this hour, where the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 8.66. That puts the industrial index at 817.16, and the first hour volume's been 19,700,000 shares. Reed Collins, CBS News.
This is The World Tonight. Good evening, I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News, sitting in for Douglas Edwards. President Reagan fought the battle of the budget again today as he continued his speech-making and his Western trip. Neil Strausser reports from Los Angeles.
The president today sought to turn the budget fight back into a partisan issue and assuage Republicans on Capitol Hill. First, he called Senate leader Howard Baker to say he wasn't talking about Republicans yesterday when he said many of the budget alternatives are aimed at saving legislators' political hides, not the economy. Then, in a speech to Los Angeles County officials, he intentionally dropped, in delivery, a phrase in his text speaking of a chorus of alternatives from both sides of the aisle. Nevertheless, in defending his deficits as a necessary evil, he rejected tax increase proposals, which have come from both sides of the aisle.
A tax increase now might well stall recovery further, suppressing tax revenues and ensuring permanently high budget deficits.
The Republican chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, Peter Domenici, is notable among those proposing postponing the last year of Mr. Reagan's tax cut. But spokesman Larry Speaks insisted he's not one of those the president has been criticizing. Mr. Reagan was talking, said Speaks, about those who spent 20 years on the Hill running up deficits. Neil Strausser, CBS News, with the presidential party in Los Angeles.
The World Tonight continues in a moment.
If you welcome new ideas at home or in business, yet still have a love of tradition.
You're a Western woman.
If you enjoy reading the classics, but relish an occasional paperback thriller.
You're a Western woman.
If you expect hotels to offer a full menu of things to do and still respect your need for privacy.
You're a Western woman.
If you insist that every hotel have its own individual character in every city in which you stay.
Moving on, moving up. You're a Western woman.
If this this shoe fits you, you're most certainly a Western woman. And whether it's a business trip, dinner for two, or a simple client lunch, you're at home at Western.
First class, worldwide, for the Western woman, Western Hotels.
For reservations at the Westin St. Francis in San Francisco, call your travel agent or Westin Hotels.
The word was out that the Pentagon has been shopping around for air bases in the Western Caribbean, and so the Defense Department made the news official today. It is indeed looking for what it calls access agreements. No details from the Pentagon, but Robert Pierpoint has more on the story from the State Department.
The Pentagon's 1983 budget lists $21 million for the improvement of airfields in the Western Caribbean. But it's the State Department that's trying to negotiate this latest U.S. military deal. So it was spokesman Dean Fisher who revealed that the immediate goal is to have access for U.S. military aircraft to airfields in Honduras and Colombia.
In any agreement, we would reach for airfield construction. We would seek permission for use of the improved airfield by U.S. aircraft on training, search and rescue, and relief flights, and for such other activities as agreed upon between the two countries.
Spokesman Fisher pointed out that these airfields will be used in the same manner as similar bases in Oman, Somalia, and Kenya. They would not be permanent U.S. bases, but available for staging through U.S. military units in emergencies. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the State Department.
There's been a kind of breathing spell today in the guerrilla offensive in El Salvador, and as Richard Wagner reports, some of the worst fighting in recent weeks has ended inconclusively.
With the 10-day battle for a mountainous area 30 miles north of San Salvador now over, military activity in this strife-torn little country is at a virtual standstill. The fighting around the town of Suchitoto was a major engagement, and although the government claimed victory, 2,000 of its best troops were unable to inflict significant casualties on a force of less than 1,000 guerrillas. The rebels broke off the engagement last night and withdrew to their mountain strongholds. On the political front, the government here is working today on a response to the leftist rebels' announced acceptance of a plan to end the fighting put forth by Mexico's President Lopez Portillo. That proposal includes negotiations between the ruling junta and the rebels, something junta leader Jose Napoleon Duarte has said in the past he was unwilling to do. With elections for the Constituent Assembly less than 4 weeks away, political campaigning is minimal. The left is boycotting the voting. President Duarte does appear occasionally in public, but few other candidates do. The fear of assassination is too great. Richard Wagner, CBS News, San Salvador.
More of the world tonight after this.
United Van Lines presents Stiller and Mira.
Call United Van Lines, Fern.
United Van Lines is moving us to Honolulu?
Nothing but the best, kiddo.
You're calling United Van Lines? You who gave me a cigar band for a wedding ring?
Didn't I have it bronzed?
You who buys a used Christmas tree every year?
When it comes to moving, you don't look for bargains. You go for quality. You can trust United to move everything from couches to computers.
Give me a kiss, sport. For once, we're going first class.
Not us, Fern. Just the furniture. We take a bus from Scranton to Tampa, catch a tanker to Panama, hop a banana boat, headed for the Yucatan.
United Van Lines. We're in the yellow pages.
Now you can make dependable household help appear out of thin air when you buy a Campbell house-filled air compressor from True Value Hardware Stores. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you, it'll turn thin air into a powerful force to help you spray paint and insecticides, inflate tires and toys, clean screens and clear gutters, or operate many portable air tools. You'll find the 1/2 horsepower Campbell house-filled air compressor along with larger models and versatile accessory kits at participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers. Say that Pat Summerall sent you.
The United States Senate began the kind of deliberations today that it hates the most of all. It must decide what to do about Senator Harrison Williams, a member for 23 years, now convicted in the Abscam undercover investigation last year. Deborah Potter has the story.
As the Senate began considering the case against Williams, the New Jersey Democrat continued to maintain his innocence.
This case deals with a manufactured attempt by operators for the government to try to ensnare me into crime. They failed. They were not investigating crime. The effort of the government operators was try to create crime.
But the ranking Democrat on the Senate Ethics Committee said that argument had no bearing. For more than 2.5 hours on the Senate floor, Howell Heflin of Alabama built a devastating case for Williams' expulsion. Williams' agreement to use his office for what Heflin called pure, unadulterated greed was ethically repugnant. Even assuming entrapment, said Heflin, if a member of this body really knows right from wrong, then that member would not hesitate for a moment to get up and walk away from sleazy characters from obvious impropriety. But Heflin said Williams stayed. He agreed to abuse his public trust. In Williams' defense, Hawaii's Daniel Inouye pointed out that no senator has ever been expelled for anything less than treason or disloyalty. The debate continues tomorrow with a vote not expected until next week. Deborah Potter, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Wall Street Report, when the world tonight continues.
At Ford Motor Company, quality is job one.
There's a spirit at Ford that's really shining through. It's people taking pride in the work they do. From the littlest detail to the grand design. We know at Ford, our future's on the line.
To do the best job that I can do, and all of us, I think we feel the same way. Because our jobs mean quite a bit to us. So you want to try to satisfy the customers and satisfy the company, and then satisfy ourselves by doing a good job on every time.
And this dedication is already paying off. Overall, a 48% improvement in quality since 1980, as reported by new car owners. At Ford Motor Company, quality is job one.
Better and better, see what we've done. At Ford, quality is job one.
Stocks down sharply on Wall Street today. The Dow Industrials closed around 8:15, down 10.66. The average price per share was down 42 cents on the New York Exchange, volume 70 million shares. The average price was down 36 cents on the American Exchange. Wall Street on this World Tonight.